Welcome to the Divorce Devil Podcast, a show tailor-made for those stepping out of the divorce recovery space. Follow your hosts, David and Rachel, as they dive into the all-too-familiar shitstorm of the more-than-interesting end-of-the-road divorce topics, stories, and discussions. While realizing it can be a trying stage, they have been where you are and understand the struggle. And yes, the struggle is real. They know that recovery can be such a clusterfuck. Check out the podcast if you feel like you're juggling chainsaws, then strap in and hold on for some honesty, authenticity, and hard-in-your-face irrefutable truths. This innovative podcast is not for the faint-hearted, so if you can't handle the certain truths, just keep it moving. If you can, welcome to the show.
Welcome, everybody, out there to Divorce Double Episode 167.
I have no idea.
This is day five of the 10 podcast episode challenge to feel better in your divorce recovery. Today we're talking about hate. Anger. Damn.
What can lead talking to hate, about
hate. Wow. We're talking about anger.
Which, yeah, especially when David reminds me that it's about anger. He's like, yes. I'm so angry. And I'm like, really?
So we know some of you guys out there are angry before, after, during your divorce, and that's normal.
Yeah.
Don't try to fix it. Just lean into the hate. Yeah. Damn it. I can't let the hate go, can I?
No.
Lean into the anger and use it positively. So what's a positive way we could use anger in order to change it? Give me an example. You.
Positive way to use anger?
Yes.
Like
fuel something.
I feel like anytime you vent an emotion, anger, sadness, all the things, you get it out of your system, It's healing and cathartic, right? So I think with anger, as long as you're not projecting that towards someone else, like If you're mad at your...
What about the
ex?
Smash room.
I think that would be so much fun. Just in general. But I'd have to come with like flyers of people's faces and just put them on things.
Explain to people out there what a smash room is.
So you go to a room and it's just like you pay like a rate, whatever it is, but you can add things. So like if you want an extra TV to smash or if you want like a toaster to throw, you can add extra things. And you just go in. Safety first,
but
right?
You sign a hell of a waiver.
But the waiver is like, you get hurt, it's your own damn fault for being so angry.
Yeah. So the least angry you are, the more at least you're apt to hurt yourself.
I don't that know about sense? That. Yes. I'm a freaking squirrel. I get hurt in thin air. Okay. So
people like use those
blood in
those,
blood
rooms. Hate, not hate rooms, anger rooms.
God damn it.
Rooms. I know, really? I'm in a hateration, man.
Apparently, who are you hating right now?
I'm a haterator.
Haterade? Are you drinking haterade?
Can't erase it. My dog's better than yours.
When David breaks into random song, you know he's like trying to not be so hateful. No, I think too, and so what better way to get your anger out? Because you're not really saying, I'm pissed off at whatever. You're just going in there venting any rage that you have, and hopefully you feel better. And again, as long as you're not projecting that at someone else, like if I'm pissed off at my ex and then I put that off on, you know, my new partner or on my kids, that's not fair to them because they don't know that your anger is coming out of left wing, right?
They might think that you're angry at them.
Yeah, and a lot of times, especially when kids are involved, if you're angry at their, you know, I'm going to say their dad or their mom, that automatically assumes because they're a part of that, you're angry at them too.
So if you have your kids, 50%, you know, love them dearly that week you have them, and then when they leave, bring out the hateration, the angeration.
And I think you can't always push aside a difference that you have with your ex-partner, right?
What
so
you
if
mean,
you have your child, you know? Say it's my time with my son, and his dad says something to me that I can't process, or I get angry at, or maybe I've had a bad day at work and now that's making me angry and it normally wouldn't make me angry.
And you have your kid.
And I have my son with me. I have to push that to the side because at no point is any of that getting directed towards him because I just don't do that anymore. Now, have I gun. What the fuck?
Yeah, you probably slipped.
Oh, yeah.
At the beginning.
In the beginning.
And that's okay.
And I think him seeing that I'm having emotion with it was good at some points, but also I never wanted him to think that he had to go home and tell dad that mom was doing that, or he had to say this, or mm-hmm. he was the middleman. He was never the middleman. There were times, again, where he was with me and his dad and I were on the phone and we were having a heated conversation. And when I got off the phone, I go, buddy, this is big people stuff and you might hear some stuff that's going on. And, you know, he's 12 and that was 4 years ago. So just the difference in maturity right now. I know that I try to ease any anger or, you know, even hate sometimes. I'm like, yep. I hate that I have to do this. I hate that I have to go through this. But I also know that where I'm at now and where I was, my whole mindset was different. And so I think I had to go through all that. And it was okay for him to see some of that going, I'm the adult. I have to process this. I need to work it out. And if he's having anger or sadness or any of those emotions, he has to work through them himself. I can try to fix them, but at no point am I going to be the person that fix. I can't fix his emotional issue. I can help him ease out of it, but he has to be willing to change.
So you're like a facilitator.
Yeah. And I think anytime children are involved, because there are definitely people going through divorce that don't have kids, yep. and I don't want to exclude that. And so a lot of times you may take that out on a coworker, or you may take that anger out on your pet, or I don't know.
But you need to realize it before it happens.
Yeah. And I think part of the divorce healing process is really owning your shit. And I say that all the time. Like, I think we are very quick as humans to blame someone else. It's someone else's fault that I'm sad, or I left, or I did this, mm-hmm. or even I it's someone else's fault that I cheated. It's someone else's fault that I left or abandoned my family or just went out for milk and didn't come home. Like, you know, it's someone Damn. Else's fault, right?
So milk, the milk's fault.
The milk.
Yeah.
Well, you know. My dad left to go get cigarettes and milk and never came home. We put him on a carton, but he still didn't return. So I think anytime we have to process something that's not our normal day, like my normal day is I go to work, I do this, I'm a school nurse, I come home, make dinner, do whatever.
Bam.
Anytime that is deviated or anytime something gets in my way, I have learned to process that. If it's new and I've never had that experience before, fuck, what do I do? Where's the book? Where's the manual? Where's the podcast? Where's someone telling me what I'm supposed to do right now?
So what they tell you to do is take a step back, mm-hmm. Take a pause. That's mm-hmm. that's the one thing I've learned from quite a few of my podcasts with Don't Pick the Scab podcast. They tell you to take a step back, take a pause before you give your first answer.
It's like Logan had that baseball coach.
Yes.
And
yes.
he says, whatever happens during the game, we are all human and we get heated, we get upset. Come back to me in 24 hours. Or ask me the question, but no, I'm going to wait 24 hours until I cool down, you cool down, the game's over, we're on to the next. 24-hour rule is
there you go.
Actually think about what you're angry about. Process what you're angry about. Are you really angry about the text that you got? Are you angry that you have to have that kind of text? Or you have to
have go to court?
Or all those things. Are you angry you have to get a lawyer and now you also have to buy gas in this inflated world that we live in? Groceries are three times as much. Is it other things that are fueling this anger? Or is it actually the text that you got? You're like, really? Are we five? Yep. What the fuck? You know, so little things are going to trigger us. And I think the more we get through this process, they trigger us less. And at some point you're like, you know what? Whatever. Whatever. And I've gotten to that, you know, the no fucks thing. Yes, it's fun and funny or whatever. But there are times where like I have to be like, no, 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 no. And do I mean no? Probably not. I just can't process what's happening right now because I'm also jammed with this and that and blah, blah, blah. So I think learning the ways you deal with any situation, because I feel like most things that are negative in our life are similar. It's just how we react to it.
You can't handle the same way every negativity that comes in your life.
Yeah.
So you have to be able to bend like a reed in the wind.
Yeah, yes. What he said.
Yes.
I feel like I'm more of one of those, like, those little blow-up things that wiggle in front of, like, the
car wash.
Car wash. Yeah, I feel like that's my life. Like, yay! Oh, shit, I'm deflated. Someone unplugged me.
There you go.
You know, so I think anger's that thing that, especially if you grew up in an angry house, or your spouse was an angry person, or it was always negative, like, one of the biggest things that I think I'm dealing with now in just my regular life is people who complain about everything but aren't taking any steps to get the positive.
Fix it.
So it's like, woe is me, woe is me, woe is me. Well, what are you doing to fix it? I'm pretty sure that your cat's not going to fix it. I'm pretty sure that your child can't fix your problems because they probably have never been through these issues. And so this is a new experience. Like with anything, like we've said before, divorce is a grief. You're grieving the family that you were supposed to have, you know, because no one gets into marriage going, you know what, I'm just going to get divorced in 20 years. That's fine. I don't need to, like, work this out. But, you know, he has a nice beach house. I don't know. So I think with anything, you have to learn where you stand in most situations.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to be negative all the time, people aren't going to gravitate towards you. And I feel like people, my village, the people that, you know, you, all the things that I have had in my life during my divorce have created a person that I didn't know I was, right? Because my whole life, I think I blamed, you know, my upbringing. And then when I got divorced, I blamed my marriage or my mother-in-law or all the people outside of my marriage that created this thing where I've never felt like safe or first or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just past this divorce, I'm like, oh, that's what Rachel looks like. Oh, that's how she acts, or that's how she, you know, she has a strong opinion and she'll, you know, like me, I will be very sarcastic in something if I don't know how to process it,
mm-hmm.
and hoping you think it's a joke. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. And then I'm like, oh yeah, like, you know, whatever. I think I don't really try to solve issues right away. I try to think of all the ways that I can get to a point where I feel okay about it. And a lot of times they're not fully solved. They're a work in progress. Mm. Because each day I'm changing. Each day I have a different outlook on something, or, you know, someone could have a similar situation to me and a little bit different. I'm like, I don't know. I don't really know the answer, but let me get back to you.
That's very interesting because I just lost my thought. Bam. Wow.
This is lack of sugar.
I have something profound to say, and it's like,
This happens when you have old...
Not enough sugar. Pour some sugar on me.
Is that technically eating sugar if you pour it on you?
Yeah.
I mean, you're not really having sugar.
Yeah, but it's coming through my pores.
Mm. But you're not going through your mouth.
Transdermal sugar.
Okay, Arnold Palmer. I'm going to say that. Well, whatever David was trying to say, I'm sure it was great.
Good neighbor.
Okay. Where were we? What we're doing here? What's the...
Oh, so anger kind of lends itself to you creating boundaries.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're angry about A, and then you set a boundary around A, so you're not angry with A when A happens again.
Or if it's something similar comes up, you know, you've seen it before. Like, your brain is like, oh, this is a muscle memory. I've been here before. This has happened before.
Yeah.
And so last time, this is how I reacted, and that did not go well. So this time, I hope it goes a little better. And if it doesn't go perfect, that's okay. There's no perfect.
There's a learning curve.
In healing.
Correct.
Whatever it takes for you to find that happiness or that peace. And I feel like a lot of people don't understand the difference between finding peace and finding happy. I can be happy.
What's the difference?
I can fake happiness.
What's the difference?
I can fake happiness, but I can't fake a peaceful mind and a peaceful heart and a peaceful existence. Happiness, I can smile fake all day and you think I'm happy. But
so true faking happiness is kind of like that one movie with Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan.
What's it called?
You've Got Mail. Yeah, where she's screaming.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I... Wait, are we talking...
All hell was she's having.
Okay, yeah. Is that the food episode part? What's going on? I think I lost my train of thought. Yeah. That's where he's feeding her fruit, right? Is that a different movie? Am I getting movies mixed up? I might be. Whatever.
I think you are.
What's the sensual where he's feeding her out of the refrigerator?
I don't know that one.
Someone tell me.
I've never seen You Got Mail either. I'm just saying.
I don't think it's You Got Mail. It was. It's Billy Crystal and what's her name?
Meg Ryan. Yeah.
So that's not You thing. Got Mail. Isn't that Tom?
Or is it Tom Hanks?
Tom Hanks.
I don't know,
God
man.
God damn it. We are.
Sometimes they look alike, so to me.
Especially when you're old.
Yeah. That's it.
that's you talking definitely white people?
It. No, old people. Old people. Like, oh my God, everybody looks the same. You're old. I'm an OG. Original gangster, baby. Oh
my God. White people, they all look alike.
I don't
want to
spit
here.
I don't want to spit.
Don't spit your drink out.
So get your boundaries together. Get your. So it's almost like have a defense. So it's almost like football. So someone's coming at you. You're within your 20. You're in the red zone and you're trying to score, but you try different ways and not to be angry.
There's
so you have
plays.
To figure
yeah.
out which play works and what works for you and what boundaries happen in order for you not to.
Sometimes
go
you have
inside.
To shovel past the shit out your way to get to your healing.
Shovel past the shit.
You know, because like sometimes you're like, oh. Wait, he just threw me a lateral and I didn't catch it and now fuck, we're done.
Yeah.
Or he
but you have four downs.
Yeah, and so
keep going.
And I think that's the thing too. I think with anything, when you're knocked down, how fast are you getting up? Are you getting up? In the beginning, I don't think you get up. I think you're just like,
you're like rolling the floor.
I'm just gonna sit here.
Just gonna roll.
Yeah, I'm flat. That's it. I got no affect. I got no tools to heal because I've never done this before, right?
And so how do you get tools? Experience.
Okay. And willingness to fail at healing, to fail at conversations, to fail at boundaries, to fail at all things. Because we learn through failure, right? We learn through mistakes. And there's no right or wrong for any of us. Like, my right might not be your right. My way of dealing with anger may not be the right way. But right now, it's getting me through this difficult time.
You know, and it's an ending, but it's a new beginning.
Yeah. And it's okay. Like, I think a lot of times I was very hard on myself for exploding at someone. And it may not have been absolutely directed on them, but I've had enough of their shit. So I'm just like, you know what? My excuse right now is I'm going through a divorce. What's yours? You're just stupid. Oh, sorry.
You're just stupid.
And
so there, bam.
There are dumb questions. Yeah. People are like, oh, there's dumb. No, there are.
I like
are.
It when you answer for them.
Yeah.
You're just a dumbass.
I'm sorry. You're dumb.
Yep.
But, and again, I think laughing got me through anger. I cry laugh all the time. Like, I don't know the emotion I'm supposed to feel right now, but I can't process any of it. So I'm just going to cry and try to laugh my way out of it. And a lot of times people are like, what's wrong with her? Is she okay? I'm like, all right. And as tears are running down, I'm like, it's okay. I'm good. I just need a cookie. Can I have a cookie? You know?
Cookie solves everything.
Cookie.
Raisin. Hey, oatmeal raisin. Wow. There you go.
We are definitely different in our healing process. I want full chocolate chip warm out the oven. Someone else made it.
I don't want any gooey
from
shit.
From scratch.
I don't want to burn my roof of my mouth.
Well, you can wait till it cools down a little.
I want oatmeal raisin, crunchy, soft oatmeal.
That's a lot of
stuff.
I wants.
Yeah. So, I have a surprise for you.
What?
We're going to mix up this podcast. We're going to go ahead and go into number 6, embracing change.
Oh.
We're just going to bam, bam. Since people, we're sorry for not being here last week. That was my fault. My spit sucker at work failed. So sometimes, you know, you got to be able to suck
my
spit.
Fault, because Thursday, traffic was 2 hours to get 23 minutes.
So it's both our faults.
Yeah, so
yeah,
Thursday was
Thursday,
my fault.
And then Friday, my spit sucker
and
broke.
And that's another thing I've learned.
What?
I've learned
spit
to
sucker?
Be like, yeah, I've, no, well. You might have to
let
ask
it, let
someone
it go,
else
let it go,
for that.
Let it go. Don't go there.
I'm blushing and I never blush.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, you're welcome. Is that like that
rinse.
AMSR or whatever?
Like, rinse.
I need one of those in my bedroom.
Hold on. Rinse.
Is that what, do you say that in your sleep? Poor
yeah.
Val.
Yeah, so
poor
hey, Val. Baby, hey, who's your daddy? Rinse.
Nothing like a good rinse.
Yeah. What does it rinse?
I'm just going to walk around with one of those bibs all the time. What's the problem? Don't mind your business. Mind your business. Yeah. Well, what you do after hours with your clips is all on you.
Rinse. All right. So now we're talking about embracing change. We're moving on to embracing change. So this is episode 167.
One more episode after the last.
Yeah. This is still episode 167, but we're doing anger and embracing change. So embracing change, because change is coming. So either you embrace it or you get eaten up by it.
Oh, yeah.
You're either part of it or you're getting out of the way and it's going to knock you the fuck out.
I think it does in the beginning. It's like, oh, yeah. I can remember going, oh, I have to get my own car insurance and I got to get my own health insurance. And oh, I lost my job due to COVID. I should probably get my own job and I should probably, you know, find a house and all the things that with COVID happened to the world were happening 20-fold in my life.
How do you not let that overtake you? You know, you have all these things to do.
Oh, no. In the beginning, you have a nervous breakdown and the firemen come.
But you got to take it, you know, it's kind of like eating an elephant. One bite at a time.
Yeah. And I think in order to decide you're getting divorced, you had to have changed something. Mm-hmm. Your heart, your mind, your soul, whatever. Something changed where you're like, nope, I'm done. I'm out. That's not going to work for me.
Or, it's almost like you accept it.
Yeah. And I think embracing the change is all those roller coasters of emotions. The anger, the guilt, the sadness, the 2.5 years after my divorce, my son was having issues with anxiety because of the divorce. And we are like, oh, he's healing. He's fine. He's great. He's not sad. He's not doing this. He's not outwardly showing us any issues with the divorce, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yet, stomach issues, anxiety, all the things. Anxiety from the divorce.
Yep.
He's upset. He was upset that he had to go to 2 different households. He was upset that he had to have a faux mom at one house and a faux dad at another house. So,
but he was able to get over that.
And as he's grown to love the partners of each of us, he sees that as a unit now of 4 people, you know, dad's girlfriend, Lance, we are a strong team for him.
Yep.
We are supported.
So 4 people.
Yeah. So now he has extra love. And at any time he needs mom and dad, OG, we're there. And so I think the anxiety of going, I think a lot of his anxiety was, this change means that I don't have my mom and my dad at my beck and call. But he really does still.
Yep.
At any moment, if he is at his dad's and he wants to come to our house because he wants to play in the backyard or he wants to play with the neighbor, sure, we're now only a couple minutes away from each other. So, okay, cool. Do you mean to come get him or you want to bring him over? Yeah. And so once he had some power in the decisions of his own life, I think he's less anxious. He still has moments where he's like, well, I want to go this one, but I was at your house. I had gone away to see my daughter in New Jersey. And so his dad had him an extra weekend.
It's okay. It's all right.
Yeah. He goes, well, mom, I'm sad that you're not going to have me as much as dad. And I'm like, dude, I'm going to have you for the rest of my life. And so if one weekend doesn't work out, I'll just have you for the week. Or I'll have you 2 weekends in a row to make up for it, if that's what you want. If not, then okay,
we'll figure it out.
Scratch it off to, we're going to start back to where we were. Or, you know, we might plan a different event and you come over for the night or something. Or something may come up as, you know, for one of us and, hey, can you have him tonight? Sure. It's not a big deal. But when you don't accept the change, it can cause so many other things.
Yep.
Mental, physical health, all these things relate to anxiety and, you know, changing of our routine. Because we are definitely creatures of habit. We like our, you know, safety net. We like the things that we like. And now that we may not be able to go on a trip every other month because, you know, there's not the 2 household incomes, you know, or whatever. I think when change happens and we're not willing to change with it, that's when we get stuck.
I think, too, what happens is that when, and I tell people that when two people get divorced and the kids are young, small, that's all they know is going back and forth to mom and dad's house. When mm-hmm. they're like infants or toddlers, mm-hmm. that's all they know. Mm-hmm. You know, it's great, I got two houses. But I think it's way harder for kids that are older.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I said I was 19 when my parents divorced, and I was like, well, they can still get, my dad got remarried. And I'm like, well, okay, well, maybe they can, you know, because my dad.
They still had help, hope.
There was hope that they would get back together, even though.
Even
in my heart. Married? Even when in my heart, I knew that they were not good together. It was my mom and dad.
Yep.
So I'm supposed to be able to go to my mom and dad's house, but I had to go to my mom's house, my dad's house. Then when my dad passed away, I'm like, well, maybe they'll get together in heaven. I don't even technically believe in that.
So you're going to get them together no matter what.
So, yeah. And my and so now my kids have gone through it. I'm like, oh, wow.
So you see it.
I see what they're going through, but I don't know what they're going through, if that makes sense, because they're a different person.
Yeah.
And I don't ever try to tell them they should feel a certain way. I don't ever try to tell them, like, this is how it's going to be. But I have had conversations, you know, with them going, this is my new existence. Mm-hmm. I want you in it, especially my adult children. And whatever you decide is on you, not me. I've already gone through my healing process, and yours might be different than mine. But change has happened. We either adjust or we don't. And mm-hmm. you can fight it all you want, but I'm no longer accepting disrespect, or I'm no longer accepting, you know, madness or anger at me for caring about someone else or whatever. Because we've had a lot of issues with the kids going, well, you care about that one more because blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, what? So I'm not allowed to care about anybody? Oh, okay. No, that's on you. I care about my children more than life itself. And then, you know, Lance's girls, I consider them my own girls. Mm-hmm. I didn't give birth to them. But I'm going to help them like I would help any other child in my life specifically. So I think change is hard, especially if you're not willing to talk it out. If you're not willing, communication. Like, I think that's why most divorce happens. Because you're not communicating. Hey, I'm not feeling loved. Hey, I need more bedroom time. I need a vacation, just you and me. I need you to stop focusing on this.
Rinse.
So... So, I think
divorce devil, the fun podcast. Here we go. Yes,
it's not just about divorce.
Yes, it's about.
We are inappropriate often. Yes. If you don't like it, we're sorry, yes. But you know you love us.
Yeah, but that was the industry, though. But anyway, but yeah, so change is coming, irregardless of what you do, what you say. Change is coming. Either you get on the bus or get run over by the bus.
And you can, you know, be like, stop the bus.
Yep. Yeah.
I can't get on yet. I don't got no money.
Time out.
I don't got
time
my out. Bus pass.
Yes.
I forgot, you know, oh, there's a flat tire on the bus. Let's fix that. But eventually, when you get on the bus, the ride is so much better because you're not worried about getting run over by the bus. You're not trying to figure out which bus you need to get to the end. You're on the bus. You're getting to your destination. There might be some stops along the way.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you embrace it, or a lot of times when you're first going, I can remember when I was first going through it, I was like, no, I'm not doing that. No, mm-mm, no, no, no. But what I really was saying is I'm not ready. I'm not ready to tell people I'm getting divorced. I'm not ready to take that first step to like getting my own car insurance or buying my own car. I need time.
So we took a pause.
Yeah. So yeah. I think if you embrace change, I think you have to remember too, like you started off, you lived with your parents, you went to college or you got a job, you know, have a career, you had to buy the house, get the car, you had the kids, mm-hmm. you had all the things. You didn't know how to do that stuff until you did it.
Yep.
You didn't know how to be divorced until you were doing
kids
it.
Kids don't come with a instruction
manual. So now that you're doing it, hopefully the podcast is one of your manuals that you use, one of your
tools.
Oh,
that's scary.
Right. If nothing else, laugh. Through your change because...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to sing irregardless. I'm singing, damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, too, I think, you know, we've talked about it before. Like, the first time you laugh after divorce, you feel so guilty. You're like, why am I laughing? I should not be laughing. I'm going
to
divorce.
I don't deserve to be laughing.
I don't deserve to be happy. I don't deserve to be this. Yeah, you do. But you have to find your way through this change. You have to find your... I think you, with change too, you have to... You've got to get down to the brass tacks going, nope, I'm not going to do that. So, and then you might still deal with it, but you got to recognize that you're changing.
So parting words. Mix up angry with change.
Give embrace the anger?
Yeah. Embrace the anger. There we go. Embracing the anger that changes.
Embrace everything. I think if you do anything half-assed, you're going to get a half-assed result, right? So if you're just, okay, well.
But that might be the first step, though.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I honestly think when you first are going to divorce, you're like, oh, fuck, I'm getting divorced. I want a divorce. You're 100% in that. Mm-hmm. I got one a divorce. I'm pissed. I'm mad. I'm this or whatever. Or you aren't the one that initiates it. Now you're fucking pissed off. You're sad. You're all the things. And you're embracing all the things because at that point, I'm not changing shit. I deserve to be mad. I deserve to be happy. I deserve this. And until you actually take on what you need and what you want and what you're no longer willing to accept, you're embracing all the negative. You have to.
Damn.
Right?
Yep.
And then slowly that happiness seeps in and slowly you start to find your I feel like my heart left my body for a long time when I was going through my, like, I know it was in my body, but I feel like the essence of my heart was gone because I was like,
there was something missing.
I'm done. I have nothing to give you, even if I'm in your presence.
And you never thought you'd get it back either.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
And so even with my best friends, I love my best friends. I had no love or energy to give. So I had to depend on them to give me back my energy, right?
It's almost like mojo.
Yeah.
You lost your mojo.
Yeah, I did.
And your heart mojo.
And even in dating after, I was just blank. I was like, this, I don't care. I don't care if you don't like me. I don't care if you don't want another date. I don't care if you don't like the place I picked. I don't care. And so when I actually had the relationship before, I think I cared enough to be like, okay, I need to change that because I'm just being an asshole. I'm just being, I'm not giving people that may have deserved a second chance.
But you're protecting yourself,
though. I was so protecting myself. Yep. The walls were thick.
Are necessary.
Yeah. And so I think the relationship I had before Lance was that testament of like, all right, I think I can date. I think I'll give him a little bit of like me, my personality. Mm-hmm. I won't be like, nah, I don't do that. Where do you want to go? I don't care. No, I don't. No. Now I'm like,
damn.
You know, and again, that's not who I am. That was the protective me. I will no longer get hurt by other people who claim they care about me or, you know, I'm in their life. And a lot of it was a facade of just don't make anybody upset. And then when I was willing to make, you know, my ex-husband upset, and my kids upset. All the bets were off. I was like, if I can do that, make them upset, I can make anybody else mad, upset, pissed off, right?
Yep.
And did I intentionally want to hurt them? No. But once I found my voice and found my boundaries and found that what I say actually does matter, I didn't care if I hurt strangers. Like, I didn't care. Like, actually didn't care. And I think I'm the most caring person ever, but I now have limits and I won't tolerate disrespect and I won't tolerate this and I won't do that. And I'm going to be heard whether you like it or not, but I feel better that my voice is out. And a lot of times someone goes, I got you. And it's, you know, Lance, my kids, you, I got you. And so a lot of our title, like a lot of our episodes have come from us experiencing stuff. Like if you're angry at a parent or a friend or, a partner, these topics come up because we've felt them or someone is going through it and we don't know how to help them. So how do you feel about this? And a lot of times we figure out that we were more angry than we wanted to be, but we had to be.
Well, we want to appreciate everybody for listening to our double episode.
Yeah.
57, 58. Yes. 167, 168.
It's okay. He's dyslexic.
I'm just going to make it 167. So two, we talked about anger.
Controlling anger. Wait, can you be dyslexic when you do teeth? Can you get them mixed up?
Oh, man, I'd be screwed.
Right down the middle, right? Aren't they the same on the opposite side?
Rinse. And so 167, 168, talked about hate and embracing change.
We did not talk about hate.
God dang it. Anger. Thank you. Next time talk about hate.
David.
Next time we talk about hate.
Do you correlate hate and anger together?
That's for the podcast next time.
Okay.
Because it
really was.
I can't let it go, could I? Mm-mm. Interesting.
I think you hated that you had to be angry.
Oh, no. I love being angry. Okay, I loved being angry. Loved it.
So if you were angry, it's easier to hate when you're angry, right?
Oh, God, yes.
So finding that balance of, I can't hate anymore because then it's just messing me up, right?
There wasn't a balance. It was all hate. Mm-hmm. So.
And sometimes at some point, you had to be like, you know, this is not affecting anybody but me.
So next time, we'll talk about hate.
Okay.
All right. We pretty much talked about it today.
I think you need to make a list.
Damn. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Have a nice day. Thanks for listening to our double episode that only lasts a half an hour. So that's
nice.
Pretty good.
Wow. We're getting all the facts out.
Right.
The weather's turning shitty.
We're efficient. And just remember, rinse. All right, everybody, have a nice night.
Love you. Bye.